Welcome to Taking the High Road, a special show dedicated to the trucking industry, specifically at the confluence of recruiting, retention, and compliance. In the fourth year as the host of the show, I bring over two decades of industry experience, both on the carrier side as well as the vendor side. And each week, I interview industry experts and thought leaders who bring their insight to the driver lifecycle as we discuss the industry's greatest challenges. I always appreciate your feedback, good or bad. Don't forget to leave a rating and review. I'd also like to thank and highlight the show's valuable sponsors. Their dedication and commitment to the industry and to the show is greatly appreciated. If you're interested in being a sponsor of the show or joining me for an interview, please email Jeremy at takingthehighroad.com. This week, I'm honored to be joined by a younger generation of industry leaders, someone who will certainly play a role in the shaping of the trucking industry's future, Tyler Keevy, Chief Operating Officer of Duluth, Minnesota-based Keevy Brothers Trucking. Great to have you on the show, Tyler.
Thanks, Jeremy. Glad to be here.
Well, I'd love to learn about you, your journey into the trucking industry. I'd love to hear about the Keevy Brothers Trucking. Perhaps you can share a little bit about the company's history, you know, now through, you know, third generation. I'll ask about your leadership philosophy, what really motivates you. We could talk about how you've adapted to the wild swings in the market, you know, the past few years. And of course, we'll answer a question from a listener during our deeper dive segment. Does that work for you?
It sounds good, Jeremy. Let's do it.
All right. Well, as you probably know, I start every conversation with a book recommendation. Is there any books that you might be willing to share with the audience, something that you've read that's been impactful to you?
Absolutely. So this book, if you can see it here, Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. This book, David Goggins tells his story about his, from being a young childhood, the what he dealt with, right? Abuse and just all kinds of stuff. And then he talks about when he gets to a 20-year-old being overweight, obese, trying to get prepared to be a Navy SEAL and all the adversity he dealt with. And then he really, he gets you inside of his head. And I think he tells a story different than any other author I've read. Like it's as raw as it gets. There's nothing that he holds back. There's no punches held. It's like, this book is 300 some pages and I knocked it out in a weekend. Usually I'm a 2-3 week type guy on a book. And once I was in it, I was hooked. But what gets me going is like how he overcomes all of the challenges in his life. And it seems like he gets blow after blow after blow, and he still shows up, overcomes, and has that perseverance that, for me, I pursue, right? Like, how do you accomplish so much and have that determination after things keep piling? And kind of like you said, it could be the market. You don't have to be a Navy SEAL to have adversity. It could be anybody. And he just shows that resilience, and that book just grabbed me, and that's something that I held on to, and I'll never forget it. Anytime I get something that challenges me, I just think back to the fact that he was able to overcome Hell Week 3 times. He did it 3 times in 1 year due to injuries. Most people, if they get the chance, hardly make it through one. So it just sets the tone, and it's something that I'll never forget.
Well, you say when something comes across your, you know, a challenge, it's WWGD, right? What would Goggins do?
Some of the things, you know, for me personally, he's an ultra marathon. He's got the world record in pull-ups. He's kind of got just an array of things that proves that he doesn't give up. And next month, I'm actually going to run a half marathon. And so each time I get ready to train or I'm ready to give up, I'm like, what would David Goggins do? He's over here saying, why are you running a half marathon? You need to do a full marathon.
Right. Well, and you get some steps.
Maybe steps. Get that motivation
I'm doing a half marathon also, so we'll have to compare notes.
Are you doing it next
month? I think it's in May or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But what I was going to say is I read that book too, and it was moving, especially those early years as a father. You and I are both fathers, and I think we'll probably touch on that a little bit. But I was brought to tears with some of the things that I was reading about with how he was as a child. Like, that's just, no child should be raised like this. This is not what it's supposed to be like. And it crushed me.
For sure.
So
it gives you a little bit of gratefulness, you know, for some of us that didn't have to deal with what he went through, right? Like, there's a lot of people that have had that adversity, but his was pretty rough. And he does, like I said, he doesn't hold any punches. He lays it out there, and you can feel it and see it through his lens, the way he portrays it.
Yeah. And, you know, I love that. I know you and I have talked before, and you said that you haven't been reading for a super long time, but then once you started to, I was just going to say, like, I love the zeal that you've embraced it with and that you share it with your network. I just think that's awesome. I mean,
and it gives you, for me, like, not embracing it in my early, like, high school and after school, and now when you start to realize that you can learn through somebody else without having to experience it, or like in David Goggins, you just get to experience the energy. And I mean, you put it down and you're motivated. Like it, you feel like you need to accomplish something or you need to do it. And there's a quote that says you get to travel without having to move your feet when you read, right? And that's kind of it. We're in an industry that's fast paced moving, but when you get to sit down, focus that energy on one thing, kind of clear your head per se. And it's just, for me, there's so much to take away from it.
Well, and I also appreciate that you have even shared, you posted a video, I think, on LinkedIn referencing a book that you read from a recent episode of the show, right? Let Them Lead. Or I think that you were going to read it. I can't remember if you had already read it yet or not, but.
No, I did read it. And I picked it up from your show, and yeah, it was a good book. And there's a lot of things that were just interesting. It's a Detroit-based high school hockey team. It's what it's the foundation of it. And my wife is from Detroit area, so it was fun just to be asking her, like, "You heard of the River Rats? You heard of this team?" And many of the things there. So not only did I take a lot of leadership things away, but it was just, it's funny how things are so close to close to
everything's
home.
Intertwined, right? Everything's intertwined. So if you could share, who is Tyler Keevy, and, what led you to the trucking industry? How'd you get in?
So for me, it's been my only job. I've never had a different job, never worked at a different company. Growing up, my mom really embraced that you need to work for what you need to work. If you want something, you need to work for it. And that wasn't when I had my license. That started at 12, actually. Once I was in summer break from school, I rode to work with my older brother. Or when I turned 16, I drove to work. And that was my introduction, being around big trucks, working in her shop. Most of the time, I probably didn't really give much because I was so little. I was probably in the way more than anything. But that kind of, got the ball rolling. Once I was there washing trucks, then it turned into, okay, now I'm in the business. It's my career. Because I just felt I was at home, right? Like when you're there and you start to get to know drivers, you start to become, like in the maintenance world, you're there to help keep their equipment in tip-top shape. And it just, for me, was motivating to do the best that I could. Wanted to make sure to give them a good opportunity to be successful. And then when I turned 18, I was actually able to get my Class A right away. So I was able to actually put some miles on. You're not allowed to leave the state at 18, but you're allowed to truck intrastate. And that's what I did until 21. And then I was able to get out there and spread my legs and really see what the country's all about.
So you got your CDL at 18. First of all, it was really cool to hear that. I mean, at such an early age, like 12, you're actually, getting engaged, getting involved. And to your point, building relationship with some of the drivers and, other people that are working there. Some of them that might have been there throughout the time that you got to the point where you were 18, you got your CDL, you start driving a truck. And then when you turned 21, you drove in an interstate capacity?
Yep.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, that's really cool.
Being that, 18 kind of young driver, it was challenging because you show up to some of these job sites because we're an open deck carrier. So we're delivering to job sites. We're delivering equipment, machinery, building, all kinds of different things focused around that job site type environment. And you show up and you're like, yeah, where do you want me to go with this load? And they're looking at you like, are you old enough to drive this truck, let alone, 80,000 pound gross vehicle backing in here? And you get that feeling of like, you got a lot to prove every time you showed up somewhere. And for me, it was also a driving factor, right? Like, it doesn't matter. You can accomplish anything you want, kind of David Goggins style. You put your mind to it, you can get it done.
Yeah. Well, and there's always, every time I talk to somebody, they stumbled into the trucking industry. I'm one of those, sort of stumbled into it, and it opened your eyes to what a great industry this is. You build relationships. If you stick around, you build relationships that last a lifetime. And then in your case, a family business that it was probably obvious early on that it was something that you wanted to do, because it's not always the case, right? There's plenty of times where there's, there's children or children's children or whatever that just like, I don't really want to do that, but it was in the blood.
Yeah, it's unique for myself and my brothers specifically because all three of us are in the company. So I only have two brothers, but all of us work in the company together. We all kind of follow that same progression from the shop, the truck washing, the very beginning in the state, traveling across the country, getting into the office, learning how fast-paced operations is. And once you get a taste of that, like it's rewarding, demanding, but it just moves. There's never a dull moment. And I see a lot of people that come into transportation, never done it. And they're like, did not even know this was here. Like, they're just commuting down the interstate, not realizing that all of these people, these teams of people and these truck drivers put a lot of work in just to get that produce on the shelf or that lumber into the hardware store. Like, and when they get in it, they're like, this is awesome. And they love it. Just, you know, and if it's for them and they leave it, they're always kind of craving that rush again. Like, I just couldn't get that fulfillment anywhere else. And you see them come back into this industry through some other facet or back into that career they were in previously.
Well, before we talk about Kiwi specifically, because I do want to ask just a little bit more about the company, you are a father of four, right? So how old are they and kind of how is that? Because that's another major responsibility far and above, you know, operating a trucking company. That's quite the balance that, you know, try to manage both.
Yeah, it keeps us busy. We have a 2.5-month-old, 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 7-year-old. So one boy, 3 girls. And it keeps me busy. Soccer's getting ready to start. I coach and making sure that they're, you know, getting all the things that I want to make sure they get opportunities to experience. And maybe they'll get that bug for transportation. It's a little too early to tell yet, but you never know.
They'll have plenty of exposure to it in a good way.
Sure.
In a good way, right? And that's what I love. My kids, you know, I'm not operating a trucking company anymore, but they have tons of exposure. I have a 9, 10, and a 9, 11, and 12-year-old. My daughter just turned 11. And they're around trucking-related stuff all the time. I mean, so who knows?
I think when you're in trucking, it's not necessarily a 9-to-5 type job, right? Like, it comes home with you for good or for bad, and they get that exposure sometimes whether they want it or not, right? A driver needs a pickup number because something he didn't have it prior. You're there to help, and they get that contact, and they start to learn what it takes and what it means to be in the trucking industry just by being around it. Not even necessarily sitting in the office or being in a truck. You just start to learn, like, this is what goes on, and good introduction.
And being your children and his mind, they respect drivers on the road. You know, always conscientious of trucks on the road, as well as aware of how important they are, how essential they are to everything that we have, everything that they have. My daughter had a birthday party recently and she got some gifts. Every single one of those came via truck. You know, like, it's just that awareness, we are instilling that. Now, the average, you know, motoring public probably doesn't even think this way, but we do because we know. And that's certainly something that we are instilling, you know, in our children.
And that's kind of how it happened. You know, obviously the 12 going to work, it wasn't just our company that I was exposed to, my uncles. So it's not just one side of my family that's trucking. It's on both sides. My mom's side of the family. So my grandpa was a truck driver. My uncles are truck drivers. Then on my dad's side, my grandpa was a truck driver. My uncles are a truck driver. They still are, right? Like, my dad still works at the company. I have uncles that still work at the company. So it's not like they just came and they're gone. They're still here. And yeah, so real curious to see what the fourth generation brings. Another 10 years, we'll see if they're out there washing trucks or have the itch.
Well, let's talk about the third generation and maybe going backwards to the origin story of Kiwi Brothers. What can you share?
Yeah, so Kiwi Trucking, it wasn't Kiwi Brothers right out the gate, but it started in the 50s. My grandfather hauled all kinds of different products, from lumber to concrete culverts. That was kind of his base right there, concrete culverts. And he was one of the only in Minnesota to have authority. And so back then, and when you had authority, it was a big deal. People had to haul for you, and you kind of were in charge of a lot of freight, per se. And so he kind of built his own foundation through that authority, hauling concrete culverts, logging, a little bit of everything. Then my dad and uncles, obviously, when they got old enough, kind of got into the construction industry. I don't think they all were driving right away. They did a little bit of everything. My dad was actually working asphalt paving and doing a little touch to this, that. And then I think they saw an opportunity to work with their dad, and they all bought their own truck. And then in 1995, they incorporated Kiwi Brothers. So from 95, then we've had that Kiwi Brothers logo, and that's been us. And in 2017, my brothers and I were fortunate then to purchase the company from them. So handing it to the next generation.
That's really cool. And so to your point, you'll see if there will be a fourth generation. It may be one of y'all's children, perhaps.
Yep.
Now, I assume that you and your brothers work really well together.
Yep. Yeah. Derek, so he's my older brother. So he's got a little bit of a lead on me. He's 8 years older than me, but he kind of taught me a lot of, like, he was my motivator when it came to getting in the truck. Like, I got my license at 18. You need to get it. And it was kind of help, get in there, sink or swim. You didn't have to go to school like now. It was a little bit more of, I've been around the trucks, been in the shop. You're 18 the day after, go take your test. Let's get it done. But yeah, we work well together. We talk every day. I'm in Kentucky. He's in Duluth, Minnesota, our main terminal. That's where my little brother Dakota works, Duluth as well. But we've, technology now has made it almost, you're connected no different than if you're an office down the hallway. We talk all the time and work really well together.
Yeah. I was going to say, we were talking earlier about, reading and some of the things that you've learned from reading and about leadership and stuff like that. And I know, not all readers are leaders, but all leaders are readers. And I'm just curious if you can impart, some of the, some of what you've learned, some of the philosophy maybe that you've learned from reading, or just that you've picked up, just being a third generation, watching this happen, like some things that that have helped you as the head of a trucking company now.
Well, I think some of the leadership concepts, or maybe some of the stigmas people think is if you're a leader, you're always telling everybody what to do, or you get to be a dictator. And for us as a company, like our values are lead by example, and kind of that, like how I was telling you, like we grew up through it. We've all had our CDL. We've been there. We've helped, whether when we got new equipment, whether it's heavy haul trailers, the big stuff that's confusing to figure out a runway, we put the time in, learned how to do it. And so our fundamentals and what I learned through a lot is kind of leading from the middle, lead by example. We're not a huge hierarchy where it's like this. We'd like to look a lot more lateral, let people make their own decisions, let them learn from mistakes. It's not everything's perfect, but do that in a collaborative effort that is lead by example. And you hope that it perpetuates down. That's what you want, is somebody else gets that opportunity to lead. Somebody else gets that opportunity to step up. And so that's what I take away from a lot of it. And then having the courage to take risks. That's a hard, you don't realize how hard it is to make decisions. Sometimes that it could be as simple as what load to send a driver on. And sometimes it's hard to have the confidence in building that. So trusting in yourself, trusting in your experience, and just being honest and having integrity.
Yeah. You mentioned, allowing them to sort of, have some ownership and learn from their mistakes. I think empowering them, I think it really goes a long way. It's, I've read a book once talking about, how to create, a bunch of mini CEOs. It's kind of part of that example of ideas. Like, you don't want to just tell people what to do and have people just do what you tell them to do. You want people to be able to think about those sorts of things on their own. That's how they're going to get better and hopefully, become the fourth generation, or something like
exactly.
that. So that's exciting. Now, we've been going through some stuff the last few years. I remember 2018, 2019, the market was pretty strong, especially in 18. Demand for drivers was really strong. And then all of a sudden, a couple of years later, we get hit with a global pandemic. Everything, the whole world's turned upside down. And then all of a sudden, we're off to the races and it is insane. And trucking is insane. And then the pendulum swung real far one way. And now it seemingly has swung pretty far the other way.
Yeah, and it's taken a while to come back too.
It has. And so I'm curious, how are you adapting to the swings that we've seen the last few years? Not just with freight, but I think the equipment market as well.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, it's going back and forth each way. And in the building products side, we really suffer that ebb and flow of, like you said, right after COVID, right after everything started building, it was as wild as it could get. There was as much freight as, you could choose from it from wherever you wanted. And then as capacity started there was more capacity than freight in the market, we started to see this now constrained. And yeah, it's definitely tough to keep that balance of freight, the right sized fleet, drivers now purchasing equipment with inflation costs and the market driving rates down. It makes a lot of tough decisions. Kind of like I was going back to those, when's the right time? Should we be extending mileages on your trucks? Should you be trying to hit 600,000 versus what you did with 400,000? when do you invest in safety, and when does this need to be put in? And it really makes all your decisions that much more crucial. So what we're trying to do is just stay focused, treat drivers the right way. You know, we're very, our mantra is keep trucking personal. And by that, we mean stay very connected. There's a lot of technology now that can almost create a gap, if you will. And our focus is to stay connected, stay, communicate well. And our drivers really get to feel like an owner operator here. We give them all the tools to do the job. We're there to make sure they're successful. But a lot of the stuff that we do that's unique is, like, for example, LTL. That takes education on how to properly load your trailer, how to manage that freight, how to stage it. And we do that through communication and training. And now when that driver is successful and he gets to see the fruits of that, it starts to show, and you see an energy from it. You see positive outcomes, and it continues to happen. And then it starts to spread. And we see that being one of our more successful options.
I really like keep trucking personal. I think everybody that I talk to, especially on the carrier side, recognizes how much of a people business this is, and its relationships, and it's so important. So I like that. So I wrote that down. That's really cool. And in fact, maybe along those lines, what are some of the things that you're doing to attract the right types of drivers to Kiwi Brothers? What matters to you the most? What are you really looking for?
So we still try to look for a more experienced driver. We don't offer a school. We'd offer flatbed training, right? So open deck training is something that we give that. And we do that for every driver, whether you have experience or not, just to help refresh and set the tone. But what I think attracts drivers to Kiwi Brothers is that opportunity to do LTL, that opportunity to kind of run like an owner operator, to have quality equipment. And I know that's probably cliche. Everybody says that, but I believe that's really true, especially when I've been out driving it. Like, if you have an experience, spent the night in a truck, or had to use all amenities that your truck has or doesn't have, you can't really vouch for it. That's how I feel. And I've been out there just last week. I was out, had to go deliver a load. And so all of our new safety features, all of that, I'm not just putting it out there and expecting guys or gals to use it. I'm showing them and also experiencing the same challenges if something's not working. So it really helps us truly lead by example. We're not a company that's just open door per se. We're really invested in the depths of what it takes to be successful, what a high quality output from safety. I mean, we're just so involved on that operations level that I think it's unique. And I think many of our drivers would say that.
Well, and I know safety is really important. I know safety is really important to you. And so it's probably today not as challenging as an environment to attract drivers as it was, say, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. But I think it's always, when you're trying to find the right people, that it's encouraging that you have a training program or even a refresher program, because oftentimes you want people to do things the way that you know they're some best practices, and you can, you know, try to help to unlearn some of the things that maybe they had learned, you know, that aren't so great. But that's encouraging to hear. Now it's time for the deeper dive segment. We just have a couple minutes left. This is a segment where we take a question from one of our listeners, and today's deeper dive question is brought to you by National Transportation Institute. And the deeper dive question is, what do we need to do in order to attract younger drivers? We just aren't seeing a younger workforce. Tyler, do you have any thoughts there?
Yeah, definitely. I think in order to get younger drivers, that younger generation involved, you have to get into the high school. You have to make this a career choice. Many people, such as myself, grew up into it. Their grandfathers, their dads were drivers, and that's kind of, or their mechanics, somehow they were around the heavy equipment. But I think we bring this into their schools. We introduce that trucking is a career path that has high opportunities and opportunities for growth. There's not just a cap. There's different modes of transportation, from van, flatbed. So all kinds of different opportunities. And I think when we introduce it there, we can give them that career choice. And I think we'll see more drivers do that.
Well, and you're in Kentucky.
Correct.
We've got a mutual friend and a pretty regular appearing, you know, guest on this show, Lindsay Trent, co-founder of Next Generation in Trucking. And I know, are you a member of Next Generation in Trucking? By chance,
by the association. So we're through that affiliate.
Okay. Yeah, because I know she's doing exactly that work. Her and her co-founder, Dave Dine, are doing exactly that, really trying to get the curriculum through, you know, different high schools and so on. And I've shared this with her before. I feel like there is a challenge. It's a little bit of a cart before the horse scenario where unless or until you can really get the minimum age at federal level reduced to 18, you're hamstrung to some degree because you can't, there may not be enough demand in an intrastate capacity.
Well, and it's interesting because even when I was 21 and I was trucking across the country, it wasn't long, and I don't recall exactly how long this, but our insurance even said, hey, you got to bring him in. He's running too far. So they started to put constraints on me, and I had grown up in the industry. I had worked on our trucks. I had all the stepstones through it, and they were trying to throttle me back. So there's a lot of battles that have to be won to make this an easier entrance, and it's not so convoluted with all kinds of different things. But I believe it'll get there, and it has to get there because we'll need the drivers.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Tyler, really appreciate you joining me. I look forward to connecting with you and meeting you in person at hopefully some upcoming industry events.
Absolutely, Jeremy. I appreciate it.
And thanks for joining me for another episode of Taking the Higher Road. Stay tuned for the next episode as I'm joined by Candy Coat, Certified Director of Safety with Highway Transport. Once again, special thanks to the sponsors of the show. We really appreciate you. And if you're interested in being a sponsor or joining me for an interview, please email Jeremy at takingthehigherroad.com. Until next time, thank you for taking the higher road.